Good morning. Well, the Lord's Prayer is a model for us, and this morning we're going to look at another one. Before I do that, I'd like to ask that you pray for Roger Metzger and his family this week. His dad passed away. The information is in the bulletin. In fact, in about 10 minutes, they'll actually be having the service. And so pray for him. He was very close to his dad. They lived right around the corner. They spent a lot of time together, and so it's going to be a transition for him. He usually attends the service, so I'd like to encourage you to reach out and pray for them. Also, next Sunday is an orange Sunday, which means if you have something orange in your closet, go ahead and wear that. Orange means the family and the church are coming together, and when we have a fifth Sunday, it is a Sunday that we remind ourselves about how we can partner together to raise up a generation of Christ followers. So the kids have been with us all summer long in our worship services. They'll be here next Sunday as well, and then they'll go back to their usual school year schedule in September. Your bulletin includes some other things, but those I wanted to point out to you. We've been talking about prayer. We've been preaching about prayer, and God likes it when we talk and we preach about prayer, but He really likes it when we pray. And I hope that we are moving into becoming more prayerful people, individually, collectively, that there is a consciousness in our hearts regarding communication with God. You know, and when you think about relationships, they're going, you know, communication is so important. Well, it is equally true with the Lord. Communication, which requires both talking and listening. And we have learned through the life of Daniel, who had a great prayer life, and he was a man of prayer, that that God is pleased by that. We've talked about how Daniel would go to the upper room where there was a window. He would open it, and it would be pointed to Jerusalem, just a reminder of his faith roots, and he would pray. And he would pray out loud. He would kneel three times a day. He would pray, not just because it was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I think it was prayer at other very intentional times. And he knelt to pray, and he prayed aloud. We found that his life was threatened, and in chapter 2, we talked about how he prayed with his friends during the time when his life was threatened. In chapter 6, just before the lion's den, we talked about how then he prayed. In fact, that was the reason why he got in trouble, is because he was praying. Wouldn't it be great to have heard Daniel actually pray? Some of you respect people's prayer lives. Maybe it was a grandmother, maybe it was someone else, that you really just respected their prayer life, and you thought, man, I just would love to sit and to hear them pray. This is how I feel about Daniel, to have been in the room when he would kneel and he would pray. Wouldn't that be great? Well, the good thing for us is Daniel wrote down one of his prayers. He wrote down a prayer, and we are going to use his prayer as a model for how we ought to pray. There are two passages of scriptures I'd like for you to look up. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we have some available to you. Daniel chapter 9 is one of the chapters, and then Jeremiah chapter 25, okay? So Jeremiah 25, Daniel chapter 9. They're not too far apart from each other. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. So they're kind of right there in the middle, towards the middle of the Bible, in the Old Testament. Now, the reason why I'm having you turn to two different passages, because the first passage, the one in Jeremiah, tells us why Daniel and his people are in exile. We have spoken about how the Babylonians came, they took Daniel and all the other young men and women who could be a part of the new kingdom, a part of the new plan. They gave him new names, new clothes, a new culture, new food. And they were taken 500 miles away from home. in Jeremiah 25, we find out why that happens. Now, 70 years has passed when we find Daniel praying the prayer in Daniel 9. This is a prayer that Daniel has waited 70 years to pray. He is, let's say, if he was 20 when he was taken into captivity, 70 years, he is now 90, when he is praying a prayer that he has longed to pray. That prayer, in essence, is for the restoration of Israel and a return to Jerusalem. Now, why would he wait 70 years? Why is it that sometimes you and I are asked to wait? Daniel waited 70 years to pray because God had told him, God had told the nation of Israel, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Because God told him they would be there for 70 years. 70 years has been completed. And then in Daniel 9, we find this prayer that has been birthed in his heart for that length of time. I'd like for you to hear the word of the Lord from Jeremiah 25, which tells us why Daniel is in Babylon and why his people are there. Perhaps you've thought, like, why would God allow such a nice guy like Daniel and his friends to be taken into captivity? Jeremiah 25 tells us, verse 2, we'll pick up our story. So Jeremiah, the prophet, said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again and again and again, but you have not listened. Jeremiah is a prophet, and he's telling them, for 23 years, you've heard the warnings, but you would not listen. Verse 4, and though the Lord has sent all his servants and prophets to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave you forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve or worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have provoked me with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstone and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. This is what's happened. Babylonians came, as the Lord had declared. Warning had come to them before the Babylonian raid, but they would not listen. They would not turn. And even Daniel, even though he was a man of prayer and a man of God, he was living in the land amongst people who were wayward, who were rebellious. He was guilty by association, although not perfect in his own right, for he was human. He was guilty by association. And the word is this. Jerusalem, Israel will be a desolate place, and the people will be taken to Babylon for 70 years. Daniel has been serving in Babylon. He's been there for 70 years. He's been through trial after trial, difficulty after difficulty. The 70 years is now complete. And Daniel makes his way upstairs. He bends his knee. He opens the windows towards Jerusalem, and he prays the prayer that he has been waiting to pray for 70 years. I'd like for you to stand as I read Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 4. Will you stand with me? Daniel 9, verse 4 and following. I pray to the Lord my God and confessed. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to your kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord, our God, is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws that he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and our iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation, the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Amen. You may be seated. For 70 years, he's wanted to pray that prayer. I'm sure there were aspects of that prayer that he had prayed before, but to request, now that the 70 years have passed, to request the restoration, he prays. I find in Daniel's prayer a model that we could use and we'll use this morning in the time that we have remained. The first aspect is that of to declare. Daniel declares a few things, and he begins by declaring the character of God. When he prays, he wants to acknowledge who God is. We, on the other hand, often begin our prayers with, God, what I really need from you is, we just jump right to the request. We jump right to the thing that's like bearing down on us. We're looking for relief. We're looking for help. We're looking, you know, for some sort of answer. And, oh, God does want to provide and offer that to us. But for us to acknowledge who he is a better beginning than for us just to jump to the request. There's a there's a way that this changed my prayers even this morning. I often pray on Sunday mornings, Lord, help me to teach your word clearly. Help me not to get in the way of what you have to say to your people. But this morning, I changed that prayer, and it went something like this. Oh, Lord, you are the great teacher. Lord, you are the one who has wisdom. You are the one who is able to open the hearts of people because you're awesome. And so because you are the great teacher, Lord, I ask that you would use this teacher to help these who gather today to hear and to apply your word. You see the difference? See, the difference is when we begin with this acknowledgement and this declaration of who he is, and then our request emerge out of that, it is less about us and more about him. There are around 20 times in this prayer that Daniel is referencing God. It's more about God than about man or about him. Half the amount of time it's about people, humans, and twice as much time is spent on who God is. He describes the character of God, and you can look in these verses, and you can see where he does that. He begins in verse 4 with these words, he's great and awesome God. He also does this. He keeps his covenant of love. The character of God is expressed by his righteousness, and then his mercifulness, his forgiving and righteous in everything he does. All throughout this prayer, he just acknowledges God for who he is. And so we're going to spend some time now just acknowledging God, who he is. We're going to pray prayers of declaration. And you may want to use the words of Daniel, but I invite you to pray with me. I'm going to pray aloud. Just kind of finish the prayer. Oh Lord, you are. You are. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you are. You are great and mighty. Oh Lord, you are merciful and just. Oh Lord, you are right and true. Lord, you are holy, and I am not. This we declare in the name of Christ. Amen. Declaration was just the character of God, just part of what Daniel prayed. He also declared what God's promise was. When we know the promises of God, then we can declare them. So like, God, I know that you promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you are always with us. And so you are this God who is always with us. And I just declare that promise. You know, he also declared how he and his nation had failed. When I teach people to pray, whether it's my kids or new believers or, you know, in a setting, I've come to use a couple different kinds of prayers. Those prayers were just kind of like finish a sentence. Jesus, thank you for. Jesus, please help. Jesus, I'm sorry for. Now, since then, I think based on Daniel's, I need to add to that, and that is Jesus, you are. To begin with the Jesus, you are, and then just have people like finish a sentence similar to what you were doing. It's something that you can do with your kids in order to help them, get them to pray. For you also, as you learn to pray aloud, to be able to just say those things and to say them in a sentence, talking with God. When we have those kinds of prayers, it's very easy for people to finish the sentence, Jesus, thank you for my family, thank you for my food. It's also easy for people to say, Jesus, please help my grandma who just had surgery. Please help our baseball team to do well. But it's the prayer, the last one, Jesus, I'm sorry for, that people have more difficulty in finishing. Jesus, I'm sorry for being rude. Jesus, I'm sorry for it's just kind of hard, and especially to do that aloud. But Daniel has no problem of just indicating that he and his nation have failed. In fact, I'm going to have you look at the prayer again, and together, how many ways does Daniel indicate that he and his nation have failed? What are the descriptive words that he uses? And go ahead and just mention them. Excuse me? All right. Turned away from God's commands and laws. Turned away. All right. Two of them there. Wicked, rebellion. Unfaithful. We haven't listened. We are refusing to obey. See any others in there? We've turned away. Sinned. You know, he just says it outright. You know, we've sinned. And if you look at it, you'll note that several times throughout the entire prayer, 5, 8, 11, 15, we have this, I've sinned. Sometimes we want to go, you know, I messed up. I didn't do it quite right. Let's just call it what it is. I've sinned. I've turned from God. I've sinned. He continues on, here's the list that you had, you know, I did wrong, we rebelled, we turned away from God's commands and laws, we didn't listen, we didn't pay attention, we were unfaithful, we didn't obey, we were stubborn, we transgressed God's laws, we didn't seek God's favor. This is the way in which Daniel is saying we've repented. You know, you and I need to learn to pray prayers of repentance. We need to learn to pray prayers of confession for ourselves, for our community, for our church, for our nation, for the world, that we would begin to pray those kinds of prayers. Prayers like, you know, God, we've sinned. We sing songs like, I surrender, but I haven't done that. God, forgive us for being stubborn. Forgive us for being silent when we've needed to speak. Forgive us for not honoring the sanctity of life. Forgive us for being prayerless people. Forgive us for neglecting your word. I mean, the list goes on. And yet when we come to those kinds of prayers, because we feel uncomfortable that, you know, for whatever reason that, you know, oh, the people are going to think me, you know, it's the prayers of confession of ourselves and of those around us. Daniel, he includes himself. He doesn't have a problem to say, I too have failed. As we now spend some time in confession, I ask that you just finish that prayer. Lord, forgive me for, or Jesus, forgive us for, or forgive our nation for. Will you follow Daniel's example and pray aloud prayers of repentance? Jesus, forgive us for our prayerlessness. Forgive our unfaithfulness. Forgive our stubbornness. Lord, we have rebelled. We have rebelled as a nation. We have rebelled as a people of God. We have rebelled personally. Lord, forgive us. In Christ's name, amen. Daniel takes quite a bit of time with declaration and repentance before he even gets to the request. You would think that after waiting 70 years to pray a prayer that you're going, I have been waiting for this day for a long time. But he knows that prayer is more than about requests. But it does include the request. It includes us pouring our heart to the Lord about the very things that ache us, the very things that we need help. Some of those requests, as Daniel indicates, is a request of God to turn away from his anger and wrath, or to hear our prayers, or to look with favor upon his people or place, or to open his eyes and to see the desolation, to forgive, or to act without delay. I'd like for us to spend a little bit of time in just making our requests known to God. I mean, he knows them already. In fact, in Daniel chapter 9, the angel appears to Daniel, and it says, when you started to pray, the answer from the Lord came. Verse 23, as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. Before Daniel even got to the point of the request, an answer was being sent, for the Lord knew the heart of Daniel, and that Daniel's heart was to request the will of the Father. For me, the most powerful verse in here is verse 18 regarding requests. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, because of your great mercy. Will you pray with me now? Perhaps a request, a personal request, or church request, or a national or global request. Lord, hear our prayers. Jesus, please help us to honor you with our bodies. Oh Lord, we are not righteous. We come to you because of your great mercy. We request wisdom. We request the strength and courage to be your people. We ask for restoration in the home. We ask for courage in the face of fear. We ask for words when we are asked to speak. We are asked for gentleness where there is hostility. And we know that it is only by your strength and the indwelling of your Spirit that we could even ask or carry out what we have asked. I thank you for a life of Daniel, one who has modeled well over 70-year period of time of faithfulness to prayer. Oh, may we, when we are 90 years old, may it be said of us that we have been a prayerful people. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to continue praying and taking these lessons into your classes and into your homes. Work on helping your children learn to pray by them hearing you pray and perhaps using some of those just finish the sentence kinds of prayers. Jesus, you are. Jesus, please help. Jesus, thank you for. Jesus, I'm sorry for. Could be a way. God bless you all.